Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is April the 11th, and I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Take two.
Take two. Yeah. I couldn't say a word. I got stumbled on it. And
you got stumbled on it. You stumbled on it.
I stumbled.
Just take three.
This is take three. This is take three. Let's just keep rolling.
Yep. Good to see you this afternoon, Justin.
Good to see you.
Monday.
It's cloudy, and my head is cloudy.
Yeah, it is. But it is Easter week.
This is right. It is Easter week. Good Friday's coming.
Yes.
Two services on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so,
one Friday night at 6 and two on Sunday, 8:30 and 10:30.
Talking to someone today, they go, oh, Easter's coming.
Yes,
it is. So you may want to pay attention to what's going on at Grace if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cross and resurrection this weekend will be the themes. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to being with our people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Two services that are my favorite are the Christmas Eve service and Good Friday. So I'm looking forward to this week. It's going to be a great week to celebrate together and remember. Mm-hmm. So so make sure you pay attention to those details on the website. You'll find them on the website, but it'll be helpful for you to go on, look, and make sure you know where you're going and at what time. And
child care stuff and all that.
Right, yeah. No Sunday school on Sunday. So you show up for a study, you may be by yourself.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, great. Well, wonderful sermon. I know we kind of started in 11 and went through into 12, the beginning of 12. Mm-hmm. And but I'll let you give the recap, but you were kind of talking through three different individuals and taking a look. So give us a recap.
Well, the passage begins John chapter 11, verse 45. It says, many of the Jews therefore who came with Mary and had seen what he did was raise Lazarus from the dead, believed in him. And then verse 46, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them. Mm-hmm. So it just really sets up for us this whole idea of belief and unbelief. Mm-hmm. So some of the people, after seeing Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, which is what we talked about two Sundays ago, some of the people believed in Jesus, and others were skeptical, not so much about the sign as about what Jesus was doing and what was going to happen, what the result of that was going to be, what conflict that might stir. They went and reported it to the Pharisees. So there's a lot of unbelief going on at the same time.
Right.
So out of that, I picked the three individuals that were highlighted from John 11, 45 on through chapter 12, about halfway through. The three individuals that were highlighted were Caiaphas, Judas, and Mary. And we looked at the way each of these three viewed Jesus. Mm. And then what was going on possibly in their heart toward Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then what kind of actual life or action came out of their view of Jesus and their heart for Jesus.
Yeah.
And so clearly in Caiaphas and Judas, we saw an unbelieving heart and mind and heart and action. And with Mary, who anointed Jesus' feet with the ointment, she had a proper view of Jesus, a heart of love for Jesus. And out of that, she anointed him and gave a sacrifice for him.
Yeah.
So that was the overview. And I just sent people away saying, you know, during Easter week, read the rest of John, rest of John 12 on through John 21. Mm-hmm. Let this week be a great time of just meditation on these chapters as Jesus. Because he's in the final week. By the time we get to this section in John chapter 12, we are now in the final week.
Yeah.
Of the life of Jesus.
Right.
And so here we are at Easter week, which is that too. So it'd be a great, great 10 chapters to meditate on.
Yeah, it was great. I was sitting where I was sitting. You mentioned, we're in the book of John, we're in the final week. And we so happen to be in Easter week. And, you know, just the timing worked out.
Yeah.
And just happened that way. And someone laughed. I think they really thought, yeah, you really did plan this. And I'm like, well, Scott just kind of takes y'all don't understand. Like, Scott takes a little bit of the time. He doesn't plan out 10 weeks in advance.
Yeah, no, so. It did just work out this way that we landed at this point in John on this week, during this week. So,
yeah. Well, great. Well, got a few questions. Okay. And this, the first one will be, I think, a quick question. So, you know, sometimes when you're listening to a sermon, you may hear one thing like, is that what he meant? So clarify, you were talking a little bit about the 12th chapter and you were saying about how the Bible was originally written and then how we kind of have put in certain things. And some were like, was he saying that John didn't write the 12th chapter and someone else put it in? So let's clarify.
Okay.
You weren't saying that John didn't write the 12th chapter.
No, I'm not saying that John did not write.
We were going off the rails.
What we have as the 12th chapter of John. Right. The point that I was making was that the chapter breaks, like the
numbers,
12,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Right there was not in the.
It was one complete.
It was a book
letter,
exactly. And so, the number 12 that is situated right there in the Gospel of John was added later, and that's fine because it helps us. So I can say, turn to John chapter 12. But my point was that sometimes the way our minds work, that because that 12 is added there later, that we can think that chapter 11 is over. And we've moved on to something new.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to say is if you remove just the number 12, not any part of the Bible, but just remove the number 12 so that it flows, that all this material flows, you can see that there are sections that overlap what we have as different chapters.
Yeah.
And or include portions of what we have as different chapters. And if you look in those sections, the way it's organized is a lesson in and of itself.
Right.
So that's why I started at the end of chapter 11 and went into what we have as chapter 12 to say that Caiaphas, Judas, and Mary are put before us. Caiaphas and Judas contrasted with Mary.
Right.
Or unbelief and belief is another way we could say that. So that's the whole point there.
That's a good clarification.
John wrote everything is what in what we have as chapter 12.
Yeah, but John didn't put the chapter numbers and the verse numbers.
Right.
Sometimes, like you said, that's very helpful. Right. And sometimes it can break a narrative up. And so that's why you were kind of explaining that.
Yeah.
And which what I would say too, you know, going back to earlier you were saying, hey, go read the last week of his life in the book of John from this point on. I would encourage people to go grab a reader's Bible. A reader's Bible, it doesn't have numbers and doesn't have verses, chapter numbers, and you could really kind of really read this as one last week.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's another way of
you might see connections that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yeah, right. Well, great. Okay, so here's the next question. You talked a lot throughout the sermon about God's sovereignty, especially when you're talking about Judas and the religious leaders, and they're going to go kill Jesus and like, you know, but they're going to be held responsible for those actions, but God is sovereign over them. Can you help amplify that a little bit? I think for some that's a little bit hurts the head to think about, okay, well, how does this work together? And so help us a little bit, amplify that a little bit more.
Okay, so to set it up again, I think if I remember the context of that statement was I was referring to the fact that Caiaphas had made this prophecy about the death of Jesus when they were saying, what are we going to do? Everybody's going to follow Jesus, and the Romans are going to come, and they're going to take away our place, and they're going to take away our nation. And to that, Caiaphas says, don't you know that it's better if one man die for the nation than the whole nation die? And what he meant by that was it's better if we offer up one man. You know, in other words, take Jesus out before the Romans can come take us out.
Right.
And so he was, and we know that he was prophesying his own plot to kill Jesus, because the next, you know, we get to the end of that section there. It says in verse 53, from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. So Caiaphas was not just prophesying like without being involved. He was prophesying what he didn't know.
Right.
He was declaring his involvement in the death of Jesus, but then John sees that as, oh, yeah, but he was also prophesying the fact that Jesus was going to die, but differently than Caiaphas thought. Caiaphas thought, we're going to get rid of Jesus and therefore spare our nation. In God's eternal plan, Jesus is offered up as the sacrifice on the cross to save from the nations and to save from among the nations from the wrath of God.
Yeah.
All right. That's the context. And then, so I said that, that Caiaphas is on the one hand going to be, responsible for that, held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that he sinned. This was evil, offering up Jesus. But at the same time, on the other hand, this was God's plan, God's eternal plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how else to say that except to say that that can happen.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Mm-hmm.
That people do things that are evil, and yet at the same time, nothing thwarts God's plan, and God actually thwarts evil by using evil plans to bring about his good.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another way that was put. Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching. Then he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men."
Hmm.
And then God raised him up.
Yeah.
So there it is again. Peter is saying to these same religious leaders, you know, you put him forward. You gave him up to the Romans. You called for his crucifixion. You did it at the hands of lawless men.
Yeah.
You're going to be held accountable for that. That, you know, that is, that blood is on you. At the same time, this was God's predetermined plan,
mm-hmm,
to shed for the Son of God's blood to be shed on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
How can those two things be true? Because God is God.
Yeah.
And because God is sovereign, and because nothing will thwart God's plan, and because God will actually use human activity, even when it's evil, to bring about his plan.
Yeah.
Now, I cannot speak to the specifics of every situation. I have no way of doing that.
Right.
So someone might hear this and say, "Oh, you're saying that this evil thing that happened to me, you know, God predetermined that, you know, I don't, and so where's the good in that?" I wouldn't want to begin to guess as to what exactly is going on in everybody's pain. That's beyond me, mm-hmm, or any of us. We're not making that statement.
Right.
We're just acknowledging something that is taught,
mm-hmm,
a principle that's taught in the scripture, and that is that God is sovereign over all things and will even take the evil of human beings and use it for his good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, I've heard you talk about this before in different settings about our responsibility and God's sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has helped me, and I've heard you teach about it, is that you can get into a ditch on one of those sides, right? You mm-hmm can get all on one side and, you know, man's not held accountable or responsible at all, and go all the way on the other side and go, well, we're all accountable, but God's really not in control. It's like, you got to be careful. Right? There's this balance, but...
So humans can't say, well, if God's going to use the things that humans do, even if they're bad, mm-hmm, for his good, then humans can't be held responsible for the bad they do. Not true.
Right.
Not true. Human beings are responsible to Almighty God.
Yeah.
And we will give an account to God for everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore we need faith in Christ. So that Christ's shed blood on the cross can, for us, a sin-bearing death, the wrath of God against our sin, so that when we stand before God, we will be covered by the blood of Christ and not condemned for our evil.
Yeah.
So we will be held accountable before God.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, great. So that's helpful about God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. The last question, thought was a good one, and it's how can there be Jesus who mm-hmm is performing miracles, teaching people around him, you know, walking with people, testimonies, all of this is happening in the life of Jesus with mm-hmm his followers.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same, it can produce Mary and Judas sitting at the same table.
Mm-hmm.
Help us with that.
I don't, again, it's kind of like the previous question.
Right.
I don't know that I really have help for that, you know, as much as we just affirm that's what happened. That's the reality of life.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is Lord, and the gospel message goes forth. And some people are hearing the exact same message in the very room at the very time that it's being proclaimed, and their hearts are growing harder and harder. Yeah. And some other people, their hearts are growing softer and softer.
Yeah.
And some are moving further away in unbelief, and some are coming to the foot of the cross and repenting and believing and finding forgiveness of sins. So how do we explain that? Well, the Bible explains it in a lot of ways. Sometimes it just says there are unbelievers and believers in the world.
Yeah.
At other times, like I quoted on Sunday from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, the Bible talks about how God shines in a human heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You have the Bible using terms like elect and the predestining work of God. You have the Bible using terms like people have hardened their hearts against God and rejected Him. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to use Bible language to describe the way some people are sitting and hearing the words of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, and in this case, Judas right at his table, and hardening their hearts and being in unbelief, and some people being right there at the same time, same place, and believing in him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways to explain that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're going to ask a question. No,
that's what I mean. I was going to say, like, what I hear in both the two questions I just asked is that there's a lot of mystery and a lot that we can't wrap our head around. So how can we as a church, in light of that mystery,
What do we do?
What do we do?
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going to go.
Yeah.
You walk in the light that God gives you. You respond when you hear the gospel. So here's what you don't do. You don't say, I'm hearing the gospel of Jesus. Am I going to harden or not harden? Is God moving on my heart or not? Is God giving me the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ or not? You say yes.
Yeah.
When the gospel is preached, when the word of God is preached, when you see Christ, when you hear the commands of Christ, everything, you receive it as grace. And you say, I'm going to respond in faith. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You don't let these challenging questions prevent you from saying yes to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when the command of Christ comes to you and you hear the command, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. You say, I'm going to respond to Christ in obedience, in faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. It's okay. It's good to ask these questions. We call these questions theology. And so we want to study it, and we want to be biblically grounded and understand the nature of salvation and the sovereignty of God. But that is never, it's always to the end of walking by faith, of responding to Christ in repentance and faith. That's always the purpose of it.
Yeah.
So when we look at Judas and Mary, you know, they're at the same table next to the same Lord, and we say, how can that be? We say, well, it is.
Yeah.
There are unbelievers and believers sitting right in front of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so what do? We believe.
Yeah.
What do? We pray for unbelievers. We ask that God would work in their lives.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Yeah, and I think too, for me, I looked at this question and I thought, well, you've got two people sitting at the table. One is in belief and one is in unbelief. And I know that it has to be God moving in order for the eyes to be open. So it helps me know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where I think I went.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I'm going to open up. I'm going to pray. I know God's got to move. I'm going to ask God to move.
Mm-hmm.
Open hearts, open eyes, and open doors for me to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all, I know God's got to be moving and working. I'm just going to pray to that end.
That's right.
You know? Well, great. Well, it was a great sermon. I encourage you. I really liked how it was organized and how you went through it. I
appreciate that.
Very helpful. We'll be here Good Friday.
That's right.
Talking about the cross and taking communion together.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great time. I would encourage people to pray about people they could invite.
That's right.
Bring here and just sit at the foot of the cross.
You know, if people are listening to this podcast, are generally going to be people who are here at Grace, who believe in Christ. So exactly what we just mentioned, what you just mentioned a moment ago, let's do that. Like, let's pray that as as Christ is seen and heard through the scripture Friday and Sunday, that he would be responded to in faith.
Yeah.
Like Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. We'll look forward to Good Friday and Easter, and we look forward to seeing everyone there.
All right.